We do, dear young people, speak much, and I would that we'd speak more of that wondrous scene before us, that wondrous hope that we have of very soon being in the presence of our Lord and Savior. But at the same time, we are still down here. We are still going through a world that is hostile to the name of Christ. And if we speak of the name of Christ and seek to exalt Him, we will find that we're in the midst of a hostile world. Well, dear ones, it's with these thoughts in mind that one would like to turn to the book of Nehemiah, and maybe with His help, the Lord's help, we may find that which would be an encouragement to us as we go through this scene. Nehemiah chapter 1. We'll just touch here and there through this precious little book. In the book of Ezra, we find there were a number returned from Babylon to Jerusalem, and there they builded the temple. They set the altar upon its base. They returned to that point where God had placed His name. And now we find in Nehemiah that he comes back with the purpose of building the wall of Jerusalem. Well, in Ezra, we see the worship reestablished. But then after that worship is established, there needed to be a wall. And that wall speaks to us of separation. Separation. It's not a very nice word. Not a word that's popular. And yet how necessary it is that we walk separate from the world. And we'll find that that's not only the world that goes on without God, but there are those that profess the name of Christ, and yet they are not true Israelites. They are not true children of God. Turn to the book of Ezra just for a moment. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. We seek your God as ye do. And oh, dear ones, this is what you will find today from the religious world around you. They make a profession, but the word of God leaves us in no doubt as to who these people were. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin, they were adversaries even though they professed to worship the God that Judah and Benjamin worshiped. But they were adversaries. Well, let us turn then to Nehemiah. Chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped and were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. Well, first of all, we find here Nehemiah was interested in the state of his brethren. Well, dear young people, and those of us that are older too, how much are we concerned, can we ask ourselves, about the children of God? How much are we concerned about those that are true children of God? And that does not necessarily mean just those that are gathered to His precious name. Precious, wondrous privilege that it is. But every redeemed child of God, precious to the heart of God. Do we pray for them? Christ died for them. Do we pray for them? Are they dear to our hearts? They should be, beloved. Nehemiah was concerned about the state of Judah and Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Oh, Nehemiah takes his place amongst that remnant. He acknowledges the sin of his people as his own sin. He makes himself one with them. We find Ezra doing the same thing. We find Daniel doing the same thing. And oh, dear ones, as we go through the Psalms, we'll find the Lord Jesus Himself taking His place amongst the remnant. There at His baptism, He went in and took His place. He was baptized, taking His place amongst that godly remnant. Oh, dear ones, do we see that we are part of all that ruin? We are. Now this should exercise our hearts. What is our pathway through the ruin? Well, go down to the 9th verse. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Unto the place. Yes, there is a place. There was a place then. Jerusalem was the center. There is a place now, dear ones, where God has placed His name. And dear ones, you never find in Scripture more than one place. Or should I say more than one place at any one time. Shiloh was a place. After Shiloh, Jerusalem, you go to the 4th of John. The hour is coming and now is, when neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem shall ye worship the Father. For they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes, Jerusalem set aside, but on how, where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst. Oh, dear ones, it's not a question of the Spirit of God. He indwells every individual believer. He is in the house. But this is a question of the person of Christ being in the midst. And you only find him where they are gathered together by the Spirit of God around the person of Christ. Well, let us go on. We have to pass over much. In chapter 2, there's just two or three little verses I'd like to notice. Verse 4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king. Oh, here Nehemiah was in a very difficult situation. He was the cupbearer of the king. Some have said equal to the prime minister. The king asked him a question, and he has to give an immediate reply. There could be no hesitation. But between the time the king asked that question and Nehemiah replied, he sent up a cry to the God of heaven. And dear ones, this is your privilege and mine. Whatever comes across our pathway down here, whatever it may be, whatever the circumstance, we can always turn and send up that cry to the God of heaven. Oh, Nehemiah knew him as the great and terrible God. But you and I, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, can address him. Address God, not as the great and terrible God, or the God of heaven, but as our Father. Oh, we can go to him as a child goes to the Father, and we can make that request. We're not told what Nehemiah prayed, but one can just feel that it was, Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. He had to give an answer. He prayed. And if you read the rest of the chapter, you find that the king granted everything that Nehemiah asked. Oh, dear ones, it pays to send up that cry for help. It shows our dependence on the only one that can help. Now, we find in this book seven different kinds of opposition. And you, dear young people, may find any or every one of these kinds of opposition coming from the world through which you are walking. And verse 9, then I came to the governor beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there has come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. It grieved them exceedingly. So Nehemiah was going to build the wall. This was going to cut these people off. These ones that professed, they're the same ones that were adversaries in Ezra's day, came from the same source, not necessarily the same people, but they came from the same source. They professed the name of God in a kind of a way. They feared the Lord and served their own gods, we learn from 2 Kings. And so they come and they profess grief that they were going to be cut off. And you speak of separating from the religious world, and there may be those there that are true children of God. But if they insist on going on with that which is contrary to the Word of God, then there needs to be separation, and they will express grief. Don't do that. We want your fellowship. We want your company. Well, that's very nice, but dear ones, if we want the Lord's company, we have to be separate from that which is not according to His mind. And we find what is according to His mind in the Word of God. This is where our instruction is. Solomon went astray because he didn't either read or pay attention to the Word of God. In Deuteronomy, I believe it's 17, I'd have to check to make sure, you find what the king of Israel was to do. He was not to multiply horses. He was not to greatly multiply silver and gold. He was not to multiply strange wives. He was to write out a copy of the law of the Lord that he might read therein all the days of his life. Solomon failed in all points. And when he was old, the wives turned away his heart. David had a very right thought. He would bring up the ark to Jerusalem. Excellent thought. Pleasing to the Lord, I'm sure. But he didn't read how it should be brought up. Instead, he copied the Philistines. And the Lord judged them for it. Uzzah touched the ark and lost his life. Well, we find in 1 Chronicles 15, David then says, none ought to carry the ark of the Lord but the Levites. Oh, he had listened, and he had gone into the Word of God and found what he should do. And he says to the priests, because ye did it not at the first, the Lord made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Oh, dear young people, not only must we seek God, but he would have us to seek him after the due order. It's important. We're responsible to seek him after the due order. For he has instructed us. He has given us his word. And therefore we are responsible to go according to the word of God. Well, you will find grief then on the part of those that would like your company but don't want to separate from that which is evil. Go down to verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. I must leave you to read the rest of it, dear ones, for we haven't time. They laughed us to scorn. So you can get grief and you can get laughter. But nevertheless, Nehemiah noticed the end of the, or the 20th verse. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Those that may make a profession, but do not know Christ the Savior, have no place in the assembly of God. No place. No right. No portion. No memorial. Oh, dear ones, unless they know Christ the Savior, they cannot be received. No matter how nice a person they may be, they must belong to the Lord. Now in chapter 3, we have the actual building of the wall. And this is of interest to us, for we find that the Lord notices who built and how they worked. Each one of us, dear ones, are builders. God has entrusted the building of the house to his saints down here. Now, how are we building? Well, let us see what there is here. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it, and set up the doors of it, even under the tower of Mia. They sanctified it under the tower of Hananeel. Verse 3. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Now Eliashib seemingly took the lead. High priest, he got out there and he started to build, and it made a good show. But he forgot something. He built the gate, but he forgot the locks and the bars. Oh, dear ones, just bear that in mind. Eliashib forgot the locks and the bars. We will come back to it, Lord willing, at the end of this time. Turn on to verse 20. I shouldn't miss verse 12. And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halfish, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. Oh, dear young sisters, you too are included in the building of this wall. This that is going to separate between you and the world. Notice verse 20. After him, Baruch, the son of Zabbai, earnestly repaired the other piece. Oh, are we in earnest? Is our heart in it? Go back for a moment to verse 5. Next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Oh, if we turned over to Romans, we would find Greek, Priscilla and Aquila, who have for my sake laid down their own necks. They had risked their lives for the apostle. They had risked their lives for the truth of God. And here we find the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to their work of the Lord. They were willing to work, but they took good care it didn't cost them anything. They were willing to work as long as it didn't cost them something. They put not their necks to the work. Are you willing, dear ones, that your testimony to the name of Christ may cost you something? Oh, dear ones, He gave everything for us. We have cost Christ everything. He sold all that He had and bought it. He who for our sakes was rich, He who is rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. We have cost Him everything. Oh, dear ones, are we willing that it cost us something to confess His name? Notice verse 20 again. After him, Baruch the son of Zabbai earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall under the door of the house of Eliashib the high priest. And after him repaired Meremoth the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, another piece, from the door of the house of Eliashib even to the end of the house of Eliashib. After him repaired the priests, the men of the plain. After him repaired Benjamin and Hashab over against their house. All this is revealing, dear ones. Eliashib left somebody else to build the wall past his own house. Now I would suggest, and we will find it at the end of this book, if the Lord leaves us that long, that the omission of the locks and bars from the gate allowed the enemy into the assembly. The omission to build the wall past his own house allowed the enemy into his home. Oh, dear ones, ways that he is creeping in and creeping into the homes of the saints because they have let down the wall is through the television. Oh, dear ones, let us not sidestep the issue. It brings the world into our homes. And if it comes into our homes, it won't be long before we bring it into the assembly, the world. Let us not sidestep these things, dear ones, but be very plain about them. If you go down through this chapter, you will find that time after time they build the wall past their own house. And notice verse 30. After him repaired Hananiah the son of Shelemiah and Hanum the sixth son of Zaloth another piece. And after him repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. Oh, maybe he only had an apartment or a room, but he was careful that the wall be built past even that chamber. Oh, that we might be careful, dear ones, that the enemy is not given an opportunity to get in. Well, we go on to chapter 4. We have had their grief and laughter. Now we have chapter 4 and verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Are you prepared, dear ones, to be mocked at? You may be. Mocking isn't easy. It's not easy to be made fun of, but you may be. These things were written for our learning, and so do not be afraid. Do not be surprised if you're laughed at, if you're the subject of mocking. Go down now. Well, notice verse 4. Hear, O God, for we are despised. And you find again and again, as these various forms of opposition come up, that Nehemiah has recourse to prayer. And all I would suggest, dear young people, that this is your resource, turning to God our Father and asking help of Him. That lowliness, meekness, long-suffering that we're reading of this morning, oh, that it might indeed be displayed in our lives. Of Christ it was said, who when He was reviled, reviled not again, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Remember, He has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Oh, things may go unnoticed, apparently unnoticed, but this is not God's time for judgment. This is God's day of grace, but that doesn't mean that God is overlooking anything. And in a coming day, dear ones, if you have suffered for the name of Christ, you will be rewarded for it. And notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. You know, you hear much these days about the church going through the tribulation. Beloved, it's entirely contrary to Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, or verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Well, this is what we're speaking about. In the world ye shall have tribulation. And you will have it, dear ones. In the proportion to which you confess the name of Christ, you will have tribulation here. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Oh, dear ones, there's a day coming when God is going to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Oh, He is not overlooking anything. He is simply waiting His time. This is not the time for God to act in judgment. He is waiting for lost sinners to turn to Him. And oh, if there's one here this afternoon that even yet does not know Christ as Savior, oh, will you not come now? He is waiting to receive you. Come to Him. For there is a day coming when God is going to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He is not going to pour out tribulation on His bride. Christ isn't going to pour out judgment on His bride. He's going to pour out His judgment on them that trouble His bride. And we will be at home with Him in the glory. Dear ones, the Lord sees everything. Well, notice verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer. I'm sorry, verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. You notice the opposition gets heavier all the time. The enemy isn't going to give up. You had grief. You had laughter. You had mocking, and now you have wrath. Verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night. Oh, you know, when the Lord was in the Garden of Eden, He said to His disciples, watch and pray. Don't forget it, dear young people. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. There was their resource. And we set a watch against them day and night. All the time, we must be on our guard at all times and at all times going on in dependence on the Lord. Verse 11, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Well, here we have two things. We have fighting. We have fighting now, another form of opposition, downright opposition to the Word of God. To that separation. This is what raised the enmity of these people, that they were separating from them. But remember, dear ones, we are gathered to the name of Christ. Turn back just for a moment to Joshua chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. If the Lord is in the midst, then of necessity, there must be that holiness of walk according to that one who is in the midst. God cannot go on with that which is contrary to His nature. There must be that holiness of walk. Dear ones, evil must be kept outside. Well, our time is going. We have the fighting. Now let us go on. We must pass over chapter 6. Our brother mentioned this yesterday. Now it came to pass when Sanballat, verse 1, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Yes, meet together. Let us meet together. They just said, let us meet together. It's the villages of the craftsmen in the plain of Ono, where the world was at work. Let's not get down to where the world is at work, dear ones. Verse 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? If you go to meet with the world, dear ones, you can only come down. You can only come down. They won't look at it as coming down. They'll say, let us meet together. But oh, why should you leave your position separated under the person of Christ and go down to the level of the world? They thought to do me mischief. It's only another device of the enemy to cause the work to cease, to break down, shall we say, that separation from the world. Go on down now to verse 9. There we have the subtlety of the enemy before us. Now in verse 9, For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up, and he said, Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night, will they come to slay thee? And I said, Should such a one as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Go into the temple and shut the doors. Oh, dear ones, if they had shut the doors of the temple, the worship would have ceased. How that would rejoice the heart of the enemy. The worship would have ceased. Oh, there's nothing would so delight the enemy, shall we say, as to cause that praise and worship ascending to Christ, to cause that testimony to his name to cease. This is his object. Remember, the Lord said to Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Oh, in persecuting the saints down here, he was persecuting the risen Christ in glory. In persecuting the members down here, he was persecuting the head in heaven. And it hasn't changed today. In persecuting you, beloved young people, he is persecuting the head in heaven. Oh, God has allowed the enemy to bring great dishonor on some of his saints. Never mind. He will make all things work together for good. It is his prerogative to bring good out of evil. But it's the attack of the enemy seeking to bring dishonor on the name of Christ. And oh, the enemy will seek to get you to bring dishonor on the name of Christ if we're not careful, if we're not going on in complete dependence on the Lord. Well, there we have, I believe, the last of the seven, fear. Laughter, mocking, wrath, fighting, subtlety, and fear. The first one was grief. Now let us go on to the end, to the last chapter of Nehemiah, chapter 13. On that day, they read in the book of Moses, in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Yes, God can turn the attacks of the enemy into a blessing for us. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude, those that were not true Israelites. For us, those that were not true children of God. Oh, I believe we read earlier about the mixed multitude in Egypt, or that came out of Egypt. They started lusting, and they caused the true Israelites also to lust. Lust after the things of Egypt, the things of this world. Yes, dear ones, if we allow those that are not true children of God, those that are not going on according to the precious word of God in the assembly, the first thing you know, it becomes a snare and they can turn your heart away. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Evil must be put outside. Verse 4. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of God, was allied unto Tobiah, and he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Well, dear ones, if the world does gain a foothold, let us seek, shall we say, wisdom from God found in the Word of God. Remember, dear ones, our instruction is in this precious Word of God. We have all the instruction in it we need for our pathway. All we need is dependence on the Lord. But here is where our instruction is. And they found out that the Ammonite and the Moabite were to be cast out. They were not to come in. And so they separate themselves from the mixed multitude. And we find then the evil that Eliashib did. He had allowed the enemy of God to have a chamber not only in Jerusalem, but right in the temple. And the effect was the Levites were not given their portion and they were forced out to their suburbs. It was causing the proper temple worship to cease. So serious. And it was the high priest who had omitted to put the locks and the bars on the gate that brought the enemy of God right into the temple. Oh, could we see it as allowing evil to come into the assembly? Now, one last thing. Verse 28. And one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest. Here, grandson of Eliashib was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. These two arch enemies of God's people, Tobiah the Ammonite and Sanballat the Horonite. Tobiah given a chamber in the house of God, and here we find the grandson is son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Oh, if he forgot to put the locks and bars on the gate, he also neglected to build the wall around his house. And we find that the enemy gets into his family. His family becomes allied to the enemy of God's people. Dear ones, our time is gone, but may we learn from these simple illustrations in God's Word to keep in dependence on the Lord, going on according to His precious Word, to keep evil out of our homes and out of the assembly.